Does that make sense to you guys? Keep the true word, the purity of God's word, secure. Don't allow stuff to be added to it. People do it all the time. People are always adjusting the word of God to fit their standard in life. And this is wrong. This is not what God wants. God wants us to look at his word, and even if his word is difficult, even if it's a challenge, even if it's something we don't like, yet God says it, we are to protect it. Because God is good, God is holy, God is pure. God will never tell us to do anything that isn't for us and our best interest, that because out of his love for us, right? Amen? So maybe you remember that one like the fire and the extinguisher. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each person here this morning. I do pray, Father, that illustration does stick in the minds of the kids, that they remember your word is to be kept pure. They're not supposed to add anything to your word that is not acceptable to you. And I pray that we as adults will hold true to that as well. And that we will guard that which is precious, your holy word, because the word became flesh and they beheld him. And we know him because of our faith in Jesus as our Savior. Father, clear my throat. Help me, please, to be that instrument that you can use to present your word in a way that we all walk away here encouraged, blessed, and walking away with insight that will help us to shine brighter for you. In Jesus' name, amen. For the last 3 weeks, I've spoken about subjects that have been dealing with evil in this world. I've been dealing in the last 3 weeks and talking about primarily the word deception. Deception. Satan wants to deceive us, and one of the best ways is he twists the word of God. He adds what he wants to the word of God to make it comfortable for us. And there are a lot of people over the years that I've counseled the word of God, guarding the truth of God's word, and I've guarded it and presented it to them the best that I know, as God would have me to, and they've not liked the answers that they've gotten. I've had some walk out of my office just flat mad, I'm not going to do that, and gone. And yet they want God's blessing on their lives. We have to choose to yield to God's word, because yielding to God's word is yielding to Christ. And if we're believers, we want to grow deeper in our relationship with him. And so we've talked about subjects that deal with evil in the world and deception, how Satan twists things around over the last few weeks, and how we are to stand up and be formidable opponents. Remember that message? Formidable opponents. That means that we're to be not an easy pushover in the world's eyes. We're not to be a people that are easily convinced to do what the world says to do. We're not to be a people that are easily pushed off the solid rock of the Word of God. We're to be a people that are strong in faith and commitment and truth of God's Word. We're to be able to stand with an integrity that upholds Jesus Christ and his word, because that's being the light that God intends for us to be in the world that we live in. But that takes real, that's not just something that we do at a mindset. That's something that really takes introspective perspective, if you will, looking at ourselves and our own heart and where we are in our relationship with Jesus. We should have a heart that says, I want to go deeper in love with you, Jesus. And when we do that, we also learn that we learn more about the love that Jesus has for us in a deeper way as well. So we're to be those formidable opponents in a world of darkness, where darkness in of itself, as dark as this world is, does not put out the light of Christ in the world that we live in. We know that that won't happen, but as individuals, we have a choice how bright we shine for Christ. So we're not to focus on the density of the world that we live in. I talked about that also these last few weeks. Don't allow the corruption, the disruption, the disorder, the evil. Just add it all to the list. We can add and add and add. Don't let that intensify in darkness as to discourage us from being that light that cuts through darkness that God's called us to by yielding to his word. It's one thing to say, God says this, God says this, God says this, and to say it lovingly and humbly, but not live it. It's easy to know it. It's easy to proclaim it. It's not necessarily easy to live it, but God gives us grace to do that. And so don't let the world overwhelm us is the point. Instead, we're to focus on being a bright light for Jesus. So I want to read today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. In light of everything that I've already shared with you, in light of keeping his word pure, in light of keeping a real good peanut butter and jelly sandwich what it ought to be, it's a reflection of guarding the truth. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, it says, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. We're to test all things. How are you and I supposed to test principles that we're faced with in the world against God's word if you don't know God's word? We have to read God's word. We have to be willing to at least read it. And if you want to go a little further, read the cross references. Read the footnotes. If you want to go a little further, get into some other books that reference or resources that have commentaries. But get into the Word of God and read it, know it. But again, don't just receive it that we might know it, but receive it that we might live it. And we're to hold fast. We're to hold fast. Now that peanut butter fell out of my hand and I grabbed it real quick and I said, good save, right? That's what we're to do with the word. Oh no, the word is slipping out. It's being presented incorrectly. Quick save. This is what that means. This is what God's word means. And we're to hold on to the truth of God's word and defend it for what it is. And we're to authenticate that truth by how we live in our relationship with Jesus, each one of us, personally. And then in verse 22, it says, abstain from every form of evil. Now, I think that is the area that is the most used of Satan. Because he'll convince us that we're doing right, but we're doing a form of right. In other words, if I do a little bit of right, but add in what I want to make it more comfortable, then it's cool. Example, what is the standard today for couples? Well, first thing is we're going to go ahead and move in together. Well, no, first thing is we're going to have sex. Second thing, we're going to move in together. Third, we're going to go ahead and have kids or buy a house. That's not how God set it up. God just did not set it up that way. Now, Satan could say, well, God did set up one man, one woman, which is, again, something else that's contrary to the way of the world, right? But we could say God set up marriage, and we're headed in that direction, so whatever path we choose, that's okay, right? But see, that is taking the word of God and adding the nuts and bolts and marbles and dirt and leaves to the word. We're trying to convince ourselves that it's the right way when it's the wrong way, and we're not defending the truth of God's word. Remember, God never tells us to do anything that isn't the right way and the best way and the way that will bless our lives and draw us in closer to him. So we can trust God's word. We just have to ask ourselves, do we? Because if we do, we will yield to God's way of doing things. And so in verse 22, it says, abstain from every evil form or form of evil. Simply meaning whatever shape, whatever image that's made, whatever is evil can be shifted into a type of shape. We could see a tint of evil in the way people do things along with how they stand in their Christian faith. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to claim with one hand I'm a Christian, but I'm going to keep my foot in the world, right? I'm going to say, yeah, that's what God says, and I want God's blessing, but I'm going to do it my way. See, that's holding on to Christ, and that's holding on to the world. And Jesus said, we can't walk the fence for him. We have to make a decision if we're going to yield our life to Jesus or if we're going to yield ourselves to the world. But if we do both, we're essentially nullifying the truth of God's word. I like what was written in Acts, and I want to read this. It's not up on the board, but Acts chapter 17, Acts 17. And when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, the Thessalonian church, he was telling them to guard the word. Why do you suppose that is? Because they weren't. He was telling them to not yield. Don't convince yourselves that it's okay to have a form of ungodliness or evil. He says, guard from having anything that would challenge us to live in a way that's not pleasing to God. But when he was here in Acts, in Acts 17, verse 11, it says, back up here, 17:11. He was talking to the Bereans in Berea. And it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Do you see the responsibility? You have a responsibility to make sure that what I preach or teach is in accordance to the truth of God's word. We have a responsibility to know God's word. And God's whole holds us accountable to take what we know from God's word and apply it to us. I had a lady tell me years back, she goes, I really don't want it. She was a pastor's wife, something really wrong there. I'm not kidding, because she said, I don't want to know because I'll be held accountable. And I said to her, I'm sorry, but you're already accountable because you made that decision. And so it's just tragic. But the Bereans did something that was interesting. If I had taken a sifter, we have this little cup sifter, you know, it's just rounded, half a ball size, you know what I mean? And I put a Ziploc bag of powdered sugar and nuts and bolts and things and dumped it into the sifter. And I said, this is God's word, representing God's word. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to shake that out so the word of God comes out clear and pure, but what's left is not allowed to be received. Follow what I'm saying? So when we study to make sure, some of you take notes. I love that. But I hope and I assume that you go home and you reread those passages of Scripture to make sure that what I'm saying is right. Because when you study it yourself and you see for yourself it's true, then you have the absolute security in yourself to say, I know what God's word says. You're not saying, I know what my pastor says or what my Sunday school teacher says or whatever. I know what God says for yourself. That's what the church in Thessalonica did, as recorded here in Acts chapter 17. That's what we're to do. Don't take the word for granted. Make sure we know the word and study the word, be in the word. That's why Satan tries to convince us not to read the word, not to study the word, or even to convince us that's too hard or a discipline that I'm not willing to do. But it's not hard, and it is something we can do. As we go through life, we are to test everything against the word of God. We can hold on to those things in life that go through the test of God's word and prove to be good. You want security in life? You want absolutes in life? Because the world says you can't necessarily have that, and you can't have absolutes. It's all conditional. But God says you can have absolute truth by standing on the word of God. And as we live by God's word and we follow him, we have that security in him. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm standing on the solid rock of Christ, who is my Savior. And he says this, I'm going to live that way. No matter how much dirt you try to add to it, I'm not going to receive it. We have to guard ourselves to be pure in heart. And as we learn from the word what is evil, we're called to avoid it. When the Holy Spirit points something out to you, even if it's just a little tinge in the back of your head, in your mind, pay attention to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Avoid it. That's not easy. We live in a world of darkness and sin, and we live in our lives have a sinful nature, but God has given us power over the dominion of sin. God has given us victory to conquer sin. God has given us that availability in him. And so we, as believers, don't have an excuse to say, well, the world is hitting me and my own my own problems hit me and my own sinful nature, and God say, well, wait a minute. I'm right here in your heart, and I can give you everything you need not to yield to those things. That's the blessing, because in that we find the fullness of life in our relationship with Christ, which grows deeper as we yield our lives to Him. So, and that is that every kind of evil, think of this, big evil, little evil, public evil, private evil, spoken evil, written evil, or sung evil, don't get near it, don't touch it, don't watch it, don't listen to it, and don't think about it. In a world of darkness? Are you kidding me? I mean, how do we do that? I'm going to tell you some little simple things that I do, just to give you a little taste or example, because I, like you, have to contend with the world and have to deal with my own sinful nature all the time. But let's say a TV commercial comes on or something in a movie that I'm watching that's inappropriate for my eyes to see, because God doesn't want me to focus on certain things, I close my eyes. Or I'll look down, or I'll look at some other place, or I go, I don't need to see that. I'm not saying I'm watching X-rated movies or anything, don't get my point. I'm saying that there is so much crud on TV and movies that there are some things that are just slipped right in there that you know does not yield to God. When I'm reading a book, and I like some books, I've got some novels that I've read and like to read, but occasionally in those novels, there's some cuss words in there, and I'll see it, I'll recognize it, but I won't say it in my mind completely. Isn't that a weird thing? I can see it, but I don't say it in my mind, and once I see it, I quickly skim over it. And if I think fast enough, I'll put another word in its place. Because I'm trying to guard against any garbage being thrown in my life because the enemy wants me to have that mixed in. The more we put in our head, bad language, impure thoughts, bad images, whatever, the more we put that, allow that in our head, the more it affects who we are in Christ and our relationship with Him. So God is telling us, avoid every form of evil. Does that mean we have to stop watching TV? No. You may choose to, that's okay, but we don't have to. But don't be deceived, I've learned this, don't be deceived by this trick. You're a mature enough Christian, you can handle it. That's a lie. You say, why? Because we're still letting it go in our head. We're still letting it come into the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's still corruptive. And we are not to do that. We're to guard with all that we have. Don't try to find a way to incorporate just a little evil in your life. God won't mind. Just a little bit. Doesn't really matter. It matters to Him. Because God wants us to walk rightly with Him. Don't toil with evil, because everything that's evil has a consequence in our life. Likewise, everything that's holy and right before God in our lives has a consequence too. And it's a deeper, richer relationship with Jesus. Remember how in a message probably about a month ago, I spoke about how and what was the basic will of God for your life and my life. Anybody remember what it was? The great challenge, and Satan will convince us it's an impossible challenge, and God has told us that it is an absolute possibility in your life through Him. In the scriptures in 1 Peter 1:16, be holy because I am holy. Didn't that blow your mind? God says, I want you, me too, to be holy. Why? Because I, your Father, am holy. And have you ever questioned that before God and said, God, have you kind of fall off your rocker a little bit? I mean, how can you expect me to be holy when you know who I am and where I live? That's insane. God says, no, I live in you, and I am holy, and I have given you power over the powers of darkness, the dominion of sin, and everything to live as conquerors and victorious in this life for Him. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. There's liberty and righteousness. In other words, there's a freedom to be who we are in Christ with pure motives. As we avoid and push back sin, we become more of what God created us to be, that new creature, and we have a freedom in Christ that we never thought we could have. We could be our own new self with pure motives, without hesitation, to present who we are in Christ Jesus to other people. You have to think about that a little bit and chew on that. It's a tough standard to be holy because I'm holy. Don't say, well, I'm made holy because I've received Christ and forgiven me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Therefore, I'm holy in God's eyes. That's true, but God says in practical application, daily life, we're to be holy. We don't do that. We haven't mastered that. We don't perfect that. And if anybody, Jesus said, if anybody tells you that I have no sin, they've already deceived themselves. But our objective is to try through the power of Christ, not our own strength, to be what God has called us to be, a holy people, representing Him. And He wouldn't have told us that if it wasn't possible. God will never tell us to do anything if He has not already provided the means for us to do it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're given another command that shows us more of God's will for each one of us. We're to avoid every kind of evil. When you see it, sense it, or whatever, him who thinks it sin and does it sins, right? Avoid every kind of evil. Being holy and avoiding evil will keep us living in God's word or God's will. We seek to follow him, and we, by his grace and strength, do all that we can to resist what's evil and yield to him who's our Savior, we will find that we will live a life that's new and free in him. So this is where we have to do some honest evaluation of really looking at who we are in our hearts. And remember, God will not reject us, never leave us, nor forsake us. So if we are willing to be honest before ourselves, before God, and say, God, take these things from me. You know where I'm at. You know where my wrestling match is. You know all these things. Take this from me. Help me to be the person you called me to be. You've equipped me to be victorious in you. So we must take what we know of God and that we've learned from his word and hold it up to every aspect of our lives. We're almost through here, and let me finish this off. That, one, we're to be sensitive to the convictions of the Holy Spirit on our life, little bit or a lot. Sometimes God will say, no. And you know it. Respond rightly to that. Other times God will say, hello. Hello, I'm talking to you. And we go, hello, I'm not listening. And we have to make a decision to listen, right? So here's some things. I've already mentioned it. If a TV show is teaching or presenting evil things contrary to God's word, we're to avoid it. If we read books or go to movies or listen to music that we know that God would not approve of, don't do it. We are to test our relationships against God's word. Is our relationship right with those that we have relationships with? In other words, whatever relationships we have with people, is that a right relationship in God's eyes? God wants us to be careful about that. Are our close relationships godly? Do they honor God? Does our work honor God? Does it have evil components to it? How many people try not to do their work well at work if they can get away with it? And God has called us as believers to do our work well as if doing it for him. That's a choice. Do we do evil things with our money, or do we honor God with our money? And when we know God's word, we can apply that knowledge to every area of our life, which we ought to. This is the master guide plan for our lives. We're to apply it to every area of our life and avoid evil and hold on to what is good. So, let's shine brighter for God in the darkness by avoiding evil and holding on to the good and putting all we do to the test. I was asking God, I said, God, I don't want to leave this message on a downstroke. You know what I mean? Because the contents is evaluating ourselves, pursuing holiness and righteousness and being right with God and being the people that God has called us to be. And so that's kind of heavy weight. And I'm going, Lord, I don't want this to end on a downstroke. I want us to remember the great privilege that we have in Jesus, that we know him. He'll never leave us or forsake us, that we're called to be involved in his work in a world of darkness, that we can actually be a light that represents the creator of heaven and earth, King of kings and Lord of lords, that we are his people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, called and selected by God to represent him. What honor and privilege is that? To do that effectively, we need to heed God's word and live it with a genuine heart. And I'm so glad that God put 1 John 1:9 into the mix. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I love about that is that he's faithful and just means he's faithful, I want to, he's just, I'm able to forgive us of all of our sins. And then that last part is a real winning statement. And I forgive you for everything you've ever done. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The slate is made clean as if we had done nothing. We have a clean slate and we can move forward. Sometimes God wipes the slate off a lot each day. And sometimes we just need to remember that God loves us so much that he's willing to wipe the slate off and give us the freshness to move forward in him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here today. What a blessing it is to see brothers and sisters in Christ here in this room. Father, there may be those that have never received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that don't know what it means to have a relationship with you through faith in your son. We've got kids here, Father, that have maybe never received Jesus in their heart. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, you speak to their hearts and help them to understand how much that you love them and want to come into their hearts and want you and them, rather, to live for him, for you. And I pray, Father, you help us as adults to be reminded that love, as clear and pure and simple as it may be in some ways, is applied to us as well. God simply loves us, and he wants us to live the fullest, richest, spirit-filled, victorious lives in him, that he might be glorified and that we might live a life that the world does not know of. We praise you for that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.